The discontent and consequence of the burden of malaria globally, and in sub-Saharan Africa particularly, is that malaria diagnosis as a whole remains a major challenge. And in pursuit of social justice, as this presentation is discussed, particularly if we're going to redress or reverse malaria incidents with the Millennium Development Goal 6 by 2015, particularly among children under 5, it is important to understand all factors, including individual, sociocultural, environmental, structural, that are necessary for effective malaria control, particularly among children. And also, moreover, a firm understanding of the impact of these factors on diagnosing and treatment practices would in all likelihood substantially contribute to improved case management of malaria among children in developing countries. And so this presentation, okay, before that, there are no relationships, so this is closed. And so the objective of this presentation then is to highlight what matters most for child malaria diagnosis in a clinical setting in Southwest Nigeria. I will present an empirical data that was conducted in a pediatric outpatient clinic which explored mother-physician interactions with child malaria diagnosis. And what was unique about this clinical setting is the malaria rapid diagnostic test kits were used in conjunction to what the physicians were already doing. And so I'll also describe the mechanisms that guide the diagnostic process, drawing attention to individual and contextual factors that are important with understanding the whole process of diagnosing. And that should really be taken into account, really in light of the findings that I will also share. And then finally, I will present comparisons between the maternal perceptions of their children's illness, the physician's diagnosis, and then the results of the malaria rapid diagnostic test. Limitations, implications, as well as future directions will be discussed. And so why does diagnosis matter? Amesco and colleagues, I'm not sure if some of you are familiar with the literature on malaria misdiagnosis, she noted that individuals wrongly diagnosed with malaria will be exposed to unnecessary side effects of drugs, and the true cause of their illness will not be recognized or treated. And then in a paper by ANSA and colleagues that came out just this year, in 2010 with BMJ, the author suggested that overdiagnosing can lead to overuse of anti-malaria drugs, potentially increasing the risk of spread of drug-resistant malaria. And then in light of these problems, particularly related to misdiagnosing or overdiagnosing, as well as the increased cost of artemisinin in combination therapies and concerned therefore too with resistance to anti-malaria drugs, WHO in their 2009 World Malaria Report currently recommend that laboratory testing should be performed before treating for malaria. And also the introduction of malaria rapid diagnostic test allows diagnosis to be made even in healthcare settings lacking laboratory facilities. Malaria rapid diagnostic test, if you're familiar with it, they are easy to use, and they do not require sophisticated technology unlike microscopy, and they at least ensure reliable diagnosis of malaria in children within 15 minutes. And so the present study then was therefore designed to explore the factors influencing child malaria diagnosing at the clinical setting. The study was conducted this past summer, but it initially started last year, 2009, and it's part of my dissertation that was supported by the National Institutes of Health, National Institutes of Health, Child Health and Human Development branch. The setting where the study was conducted is Lagos, Nigeria, and the location and the clinic were ideal for a couple of reasons. If you're familiar with Southwest Nigeria, malaria is endemic in this region, and the rainy season period ranges from April through October. The study was carried out from May through August. And malaria, rainy season, the rains are intense during that period, with the heaviest rains occurring from June through July. And that's when malaria transmission is at its peak. What was also unique about this clinic, again, is that they provide free services to everyone. And in the context of malaria, free anti-malaria drugs are given to children that attend the clinic. The sample then consisted of the physicians who were providing care and mothers who brought their children to the clinic. Study design was observational in conjunction with the collection of finger prick blood samples for the malaria rapid diagnostic testing. And then I conducted some semi-structured interviews with the mothers to elicit information on maternal treatment-seeking practices prior to attending the clinic. I also held informal interviews with the clinicians that were providing care, and I took field notes during the consultations and after clinic practice at the end of the day. My efforts were made to ensure that I didn't, or efforts were made to ensure that the clinical practices were not obstructed in any way, allowing physicians to diagnose and treat their patients as is routinely done in this setting. There were qualitative and quantitative data generated, and qualitative data were analyzed using some of the techniques described by Morsenfield and Creswell, and I used SPSS at least for the key quantifiable variables that were collected. And then in terms of finding, I observed at least 320 clinical consultations over the course of the period that I was there, and almost 90% of the consultations lasted between 45 minutes. Of the 325, 135 cases were diagnosed by the physicians as having malaria, and then they were referred to my section for additional testing with the malaria rapid diagnostic testing kits. Most of the mothers had post-secondary education, majority worked as traders in marketplaces, and it brought their children to the clinic initially as soon as their children had their onset of malaria incidents. And yes, their initial contact was a healthcare center, maybe not ours, but at least a primary healthcare center before they arrived to ours too. And so in terms of understanding the mechanisms that guide the diagnostic process, it was found that physicians were sequential and pragmatic with diagnosing child malaria, and I'll explain that in detail, while mothers were more or less recipients of the diagnosing process rather than active participants, with sequencing in cases in which the mothers treated their children for malaria prior to attending the clinic, the physicians seemed to define lack of response to medication as a diagnostic sign. So what they ended up doing was substituted previous anti-malaria uses that the mothers may have used before with new doses of other types of drugs currently at the in the market. And if you're familiar with malaria market in many of these countries, there are numerous different types of artesunates in the market. And so, for example, if one mother may have given her son Maxiquin prior to attending this clinic, and Maxiquin is a form of anti-malaria that's popular in this setting, and so maybe the mother is reporting now that there are no improvements in her child's illness. So rather than thinking, well, maybe it's something else, what the doctors end up doing is, you know, without challenging that it may not be malaria, they would just, in the particular case, they would then substitute Maxiquin for Coaxacam, which is another variation of artesunate, and tell the mother to, you know, go home and use that, and if your child is not better, come back. So I guess sequencing is that they don't challenge the fact that it may not be diagnosed. It may not be malaria. They just substitute one form of anti-malaria for another. In describing their pragmatic approach, during the diagnostic process, cases were either diagnosed as malaria or not, and physicians focused more on treatment options rather than on elaborate diagnostic undertakings, as with the RDT results. And there are logical reasons for this, which I'll describe later. And like I said earlier, mothers, there were tensions in the diagnostic process for mothers, and some of them felt that their concerns were being minimized or ignored, and for some others, it was okay to align their concerns with the doctors, especially when the doctor's diagnosis was malaria. Okay, so the majority of the mothers didn't know the cause of their children's illness, and there are a couple of reasons for that, too. It's important to note, as in most studies, most mothers had done home treatment for their children's illness prior to attendance at this clinic, and the fact that they still didn't know what was causing their illness typically triggered them to just respond, I don't know, because I've given my child malaria last week, I mean, anti-malaria medicine last week, and I'm coming to the clinic and they're still telling me it's malaria. You know, it would make you become confused and just conclude, well, I really don't know what my child's illness is. And when it comes to comparison the physician's diagnosis with the RDTs, yes, there was a high rate of discordance between what the physicians diagnosed as malaria and what the RDTs concluded was either positive or negative for the presence of malaria antigens. But in light of these findings, contextual factors should be taken into account, as malaria diagnosis in this clinical setting, as in many endemic countries, is influenced by a myriad of factors, For example, at least in this clinic, it's important to know that in the absence of reliable diagnostic evidence, which is the norm in many, many endemic countries, presumptive diagnosis based on clinical signs and symptoms have been the primary means of diagnosing malaria for over 100 years. And so even with the availability then of these malaria, at least of the malaria rapid diagnostic test kits at this setting, physicians still felt that it was necessary to diagnose patients with malaria, as 90% of cases are indeed malaria or something else. As one physician aptly stated, to be doing malaria tests for everyone is cumbersome. Patients are many, and that's the case in this setting. And yes, when they come with a temperature, before we begin to think of anything else, we have to think of malaria. And so understanding the reasons for at least malaria overdiagnosing at the setting will be incomplete if the same vigor as a whole is not applied to understanding the broader contextual factors of which physicians themselves have little or no control over. And that then too is important for understanding effective case management. And so overall, I guess in discussing the findings, there are three observations that should be highlighted. Physicians in this setting had large queues of patients. On a typical day, most physicians saw between 20 to 30 patients as their caseload. And so they had tons of waiting hours. They had patients, tons of patients in the waiting rooms waiting to be seen. And so unlike in other countries, for example, where nurses may perform blood work, most of these mundane taxes were carried out by physicians. And so rather than waiting to do elaborate things like sending the mothers to lab tests, it was easy to just base their diagnosis off of the mother's case history or observations, so as to allow time for the other patients that they had to see on a typical working day. And when it comes to the mothers, yes, they were more or less recipients of the diagnosing process. Those with clear presenting problems were easy to deal with, while those with vague complaints were difficult to manage in the short time frame that was there. And when it comes to the discordance between the results, as highlighted before, there are logical reasons for there are logical reasons for poor performance of physicians and maternal perceptions that should be taken into account. Mothers, like I said, had treated their children for malaria prior to attendance at this clinic, and this invariable may influence the results of the RDTs. And then physicians' diagnosis may be due to contextual factors which should be taken into account, because these factors then may influence the rollout of RDTs into these contexts. Because if you don't understand that physicians are overworked, they have tons of patients, and it's not easy to... Okay, I have to stop. Okay. There are limitations, Horton's effect. Selection bias, obviously I was looking at mothers that were attending the clinic, but that can be countered in that the clinic provided free clinical services to everyone and free malaria drugs. So I was hoping that at least most mothers with their children will attend, which really was the case. And obviously generalizability, it's one outpatient clinic. I can't say it would. These findings would be the same as in any other outpatient clinics. And in conclusion, there's a need to understand contextual factors in light of the findings that I've shared. And the implications is that at least it allows us to begin to, you know, critique how malaria is diagnosed in this clinical setting. And indeed, the use of diagnostic testing should be seen as a necessary and fundamental right for all children, particularly as it ensures that only children with malaria infection will be accurately diagnosed and treated with anti-malaria, while children without malaria will receive reliable diagnosing for their non-malaria conditions. If you have more questions, feel free to contact me, but this is it. I do wish to acknowledge that this study was supported by NIH pre-doctoral fellowship.
We do have time for about one question. Now, any questions? Okay, go ahead.
Mothers and their children, there was some difference.
No, I guess I stated that most of the work that would have been the norm for nurses in many other clinical settings, it's not the norm at the settings because the doctors typically carried out the functions of nurses. So in most other clinical settings, nurses might be the one drawing bloods or weighing patients or things like that. These tasks were carried out by these doctors, and that can then influence their decisions with diagnosing. So in the end, just it's important to understand the context in which doc physicians are operating before we take these findings and run with it.